Support for this public radio podcast is provided by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org. And by Constellation Energy, a global provider of fuels, power, and energy services, committed to environmentally sound, energy-efficient, and sustainable energy solutions. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
Sinking the bottom line.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. More corporate profit reports will be coming in this morning. The latest wave of earnings hasn't been very pretty. High prices for raw materials and the weakening economy are starting to eat away at bottom lines. Among today's reports is Tiffany's. The luxury market often says a lot about where the economy is headed. More now from Rachel Dornhell.
Not everyone can afford to shop at Tiffany's, but analysts keep a close eye on it and other luxury retailers. Retail analyst Marshall Cohen says they can signal what might be in store for the overall economy.
We're going to be able to get a good understanding of how, number one, the luxury consumer is still playing in the luxury sector, but an even more important, where all the growth has come from, which has been that mid-level market aspiring and reaching higher.
Joel Naroff is the chief economist for Commerce Bank. He says it's already clear the average consumer is cutting back.
But if they're being joined by the upper-income consumer and becoming more conservative in spending, then the outlook for consumption, which is two-thirds of the economy, would not be great. And that's very worrisome.
Naroff says with all the money that's been going to upper-income households in the past decade, a slowdown in luxury spending could signal the economy is really having some problems. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Spending on luxury is one end of the economy. Being able to buy food is quite another. Increasing food prices are such an issue, the World Food Program is making an emergency appeal for donations. The agency is asking for $500 million over the next month. Otherwise, the program says it'll have to cut back on the amount of food it can provide around the world. It's pretty quiet on the stock market front. In Asia today, stocks gained about 1%, although Japan's Nikkei ended the day flat. The European markets are closed once again, but Wall Street resumes trading with the Dow at 12,361, the NASDAQ is at 2258, the S&P 500 at 1329. Over the weekend, there were dozens of events commemorating World Water Day. The United Nations is trying to draw attention to the billion people who lack access to clean drinking water. One group hopes to find an entrepreneurial solution to this problem. Sam Eaton reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
The United Nations says solving the global water crisis would cost an estimated $4 billion a year. But a global competition ending this Wednesday aims at doing the same thing for a fraction of the price. It's called the Global Water Challenge. Executive Director Paul Faith says the traditional top-down approach has failed, and it's time to enlist the help of local innovators.
So what we're trying to do is help communities help themselves. And finding in social entrepreneurs some great ideas for doing things that no one has ever thought of before.
So far, the online competition has generated more than 100 proposals from all over the world. Everything from clay water filters with antibacterial silver linings to locally owned public bathrooms and slums. The competition aims to connect global investors with local entrepreneurs to foster both clean water and economic activity. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Advanta. Advanta salutes small business, the brave ones, the risk takers, all those who chase a dream and make their own way. And by Medtronic, recruiting runners who benefit from medical technology to run in Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon events. More at medtronic.com/globalheroes.
There's a report this morning that J.P. Morgan might increase its offer for Bear Stearns, perhaps from $2 a share to $10. The New York Times says J.P. Morgan wants the support of Bear Stearns shareholders and employees. But the Federal Reserve, which is backing the deal, could be resistant to a price increase. The Fed doesn't want people seeing this as an investor bailout.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
So, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine, how do you see the Bear Stearns deal?
I am not pleased, okay, to see all these mid-level people at the Bear getting killed. Just like I'm not pleased to see a lot of these small mortgage companies, many of which have done nothing wrong, and they just get wiped out and their employees end up with nothing. And the people who enabled a lot of this, who were the high-priced people on Wall Street, they may take a financial hit, but believe me, they're not going to starve. This is a result of the way the Fed and the Treasury have chosen to operate, and maybe they have to operate that way. Because if you can show me an alternate way to save the financial system from massive defaults around the world, I'd love to know what it is.
Do you think the situation would be different if this were another industry, say the auto industry, and the government was stepping in? Do you think the attitude toward this would be different?
Well, the government a million years ago stepped in and, and saved Chrysler.
Right.
And I thought that was an intelligent thing to do. And the government ended up making money in the deal because it guaranteed some loans. Chrysler prospered, at least for a while, paid back the loans, and the government made a few hundred million dollars. I don't think in this environment, if, say, General Motors were collapsing or Ford, or I don't think the government would step in and help them. The thing with the financial system is it's so interrelated that people are afraid to let a real big institution fail because you run a risk of taking down the whole world's financial system.
How do you think that the Fed could exact a price in this situation so that it doesn't happen again?
By doing two things. One, enforcing some sort of penalty on the top people and really hitting them badly financially as a condition of the bailout, making them make serious personal sacrifices financially. And second, if we're going to put capital into this bank, which we're doing, I'd like to see a structure where we, the taxpayers, get a piece of the company so when it recovers, we get rewarded for the money that we've put in at a time when they really needed it.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine, thanks.
You're welcome.
Feel free to share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.